Hi everyone, I'm Haley Griffiths and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer, your weekly sandbox for social media stories, insights, experimentation, and learning.
Welcome to episode number 71. I'm Brian Peters and this fine week, we've got a jam-packed episode on tap for you, a little bit about Facebook advertising, the current state of messaging, new Twitter features, and more.
If you end up enjoying this kind of newsy episode from us, we would love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter with the hashtag BufferPodcast or send us an email to hello@buffer.com.
Alrighty then, let's get started. December 3rd, 2017 marks the 25th anniversary of the first SMS text message ever sent. And if you're curious, it was a simple holiday greeting dispatched by software engineer Neil Papworth. So in celebration, the Facebook Messenger team released a super interesting article on their blog about a study they ran. And quick side note, definitely recommend checking out the Facebook blog. It's filled with great insights, but messaging is more important than ever. In fact, 80% of adults and 91% of teens message every single day.
Those are huge percentages, and I'm sure it won't be very long until it's 99 or 100% of teens that are messaging every day. So there's been a huge increase in the amount of communication over the past 2 years. People have increased their usage of various channels, but the top five include messaging, which is the highest at 67%, social media at 48%, email at 47%, video chat also at 47%, and coming in last, face-to-face at 38%.
I'm not sure how I feel about that one, Haley, but it is incredible how much technology and social media has changed human interaction. The Facebook Messenger article also talked about what Facebook is calling sidebar conversations. So those secret nonverbal chats we have on our phones while in meetings, at dinners, or even watching TV shows. And I have to admit, I'm totally that person, but they do get a bad rap, right? So they're definitely looked down upon, but they are also increasing, the study found. And they found that sidebar conversations are drawing more people together, facilitating closer relationships and promoting intimacy. So kind of some positive results from these sidebar conversations.
That is amazing. I love seeing that these sidebar conversations can be positive for human relationships. That's really wonderful news. I think it's super important for us as marketers too, to understand on a deeper level, these sidebar conversations. So even though we're moving away from face-to-face conversations, we are seeing a shift to one-to-one or small group communications happening digitally. This makes it crucial to think about how we can make our brands more human. A couple questions that we can all be asking ourselves while we're planning our marketing strategies and doing social media marketing is, how can we have these sidebar conversations with our customers? And how can we create meaningful human interactions for our customers online in a one-to-one space?
Yep, exactly. I love those questions. And that's a perfect segue into the last part of the Facebook study. And that's that they found that genuine conversations are the best conversations. So they even have data to back that up. So it's not just a cheesy statement. So they found that for a conversation to be great, people cite it must be genuine first and foremost at, 64% of people found that, followed by thought-provoking at 49% and then entertaining at 48%. So there you go, marketers. Genuine, thought-provoking, and entertaining.
We also recently read a super interesting article from the folks over at Digital Spotlight titled "The 177,843.34 Facebook Ad Test Collection versus Single Video." They ran a huge study testing Facebook's new collection ads versus single video ads. This one is particularly useful for e-commerce brands, but there are some great takeaways for everyone. So let's dive into this a little bit.
Yeah, and it's about time we give our e-commerce brands a little love on the show, right, Haley?
I think so.
So in this article, the Digital Spotlight team talks about how Facebook claimed to have created a very special ad with the potential of reducing friction and cost of advertising. So particularly with the people coming from mobile phones and video ads, that special ad is what you just mentioned, Haley, and that's a collection ad. It's actually really neat. So essentially, it looks like a video ad in the feed, but specific items from the company or the products are scrollable right below the video. So customers can click on a specific item and be given a much smoother, faster shopping experience on mobile, which is huge right now because, as many of us kind of know, the shopping experience on mobile can be a bit tricky.
definitely can be a bit tricky. So Digital Spotlight put collection ads to the test, spending, like we said, more than $177,000 in the process. That's a lot of commitment. So to help remove biased results, this is how they set up the experiments. I thought this was interesting for us as marketers in collecting good data. So they only advertised with e-commerce store clients. All clients had at least one video ad that was currently selling successfully. All had mobile newsfeed traffic as one of the most profitable, if not the most profitable, driver of sales from Facebook. And finally, they ran the tests for 2 months. What they found was that across the 13 campaigns and across the 2 months, Facebook collection ads significantly beat single video ads with a return on ad spend, that's ROAS, that was 22% higher. They also found that across all campaigns, Facebook collection ads ended up costing 18.52% less to get each sale when compared to its equivalent single video counterpart. So these are some pretty big results.
That's amazing. Yeah, huge results. As if, you know, one video ad wasn't enough, Facebook goes and adds a really neat shopping feature. And another part of the article that I absolutely loved was their breakdown of audience selecting. The author says, and I quote, "Having managed millions in Facebook ad spend, I can say that without a doubt, audience selection can be the key difference between a losing campaign and a wildly profitable one that can scale businesses." So, I mean, that statement's incredible. And they even go on to give their most profitable audience targeting details, which is incredible. It made me think about how we target here at Buffer. So I wanted to share those four audiences that they put together. So number one, the first audience they created was added to cart retargeting. So visitors who viewed the primary product page that they were promoting in the Facebook video, and then also added an item to cart. So obviously retargeting cart shoppers is huge for e-commerce. Number two was product category retargeting, excluding adding to cart. So visitors who viewed a product page but did not add to cart is another great audience for e-commerce businesses. And then for non-e-commerce businesses alike, their number three audience that they put together was video view targeting, which I love because I think this is really a newer audience that Facebook created, but very valuable. Essentially, you're creating a retargeting list of anybody who watches, let's say, more than 3 seconds of your video, or maybe even 25% of your video. So it's an audience of very engaged and highly targeted fans. And then last but not least, number four audience they created was a product category lookalike audience. This is one of their favorite cold audiences. It's essentially a 1% lookalike audience of buyers who have bought at least one item from a product category. So four really cool audience ideas there from the team at Digital Spotlight, and a huge shout out to them. And we do love data here on the Science of Social Media.
Two quick updates on the social media front that we thought would be fun to mention real fast. One, it's been confirmed that Twitter is testing out a TweetStorm feature.
Wow, that's exciting.
I know. The TweetStorm feature offers a new interface for composing tweets where individual tweet entries can be written one by one, then published to Twitter in a staggered fashion with the press of a tweet all button. It hasn't rolled out to many users yet, but it's been spotted in the wild on Twitter, so who knows? What do you think, Brian?
I love the fact that it's been spotted in the wild on Twitter, and I do think it's a great way for Twitter to move into, I guess, the long-form content space in a very Twittery way, which it does seem like they want to do considering the 280-character update recently. But I do think tweet storms currently, as the way they are kind of cool and maybe like sacred in a way because they're rare. So I think that it kind of gives, currently it gives them an extra appeal, especially when you see one from an influencer. I'm just wondering how it would be if everyone is tweet storming.
Have you ever tweet stormed?
I have never tweet stormed.
Neither have I. Yeah. So I wonder if like the plebs don't tweet storm. It's just like the people, you know, who are at the top of Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. Know. Yeah.
I feel like it could be a bit crowded if we all started tweet storming, but I do love reading them. I know some people plan their tweet storms, like you can tell they wrote it in the Notes app first and then copy pasted, but a couple others are a lot more spontaneous and they're published as you go. And I wonder if the tweet storm feature might take that spontaneity away.
Right, right. Agreed.
Twitter hasn't yet shared a timeline for the TweetStorm feature's public launch, but those who often get new Twitter features first should probably keep their eyes open.
Last but not least, another update on the Facebook front. And I do feel like they're releasing new features and apps every day, but some of you may have been familiar with their Mention app that they released about a year ago to help public figures create more consistent, engaging video. Well, They've completely rebranded the app, and Mention is now called Facebook Creator. So there's tons of new features like custom intros and outros, custom reactions. So creators can actually replace one of the six emoji reactions with an alternative graphic, which is amazing. Yeah. So you get access to a unified inbox, the ability to post content directly to Facebook Stories, and then cross-post to Instagram. And then last but not least, new insights available direct within the app, which will provide creators with more data on fan response. So essentially, like, they're giving all the tools to creators now.
I love this move from Facebook. They're obviously going all in on video, and this is just another great step.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest update with the Facebook Creator app is that it's open to all individuals on pages and profiles. So the original Mention app, upon which the new platform was modeled, was only open to verified public figures and pages. But Facebook is now opening these new creative tools up to more users, so broadening the capacity for all creators to try them out. For example, you and I as individuals can go log on right now, where before we couldn't unless we were verified public figures. The only downside for right now for marketers is that pages that represent a business, not a person, can't get access. But who knows, maybe that's coming soon.
Yeah, I really hope so. So much great stuff is happening on the social media front these days. We hope that these insights and updates help you and your brand in your social media marketing ventures.
And we'd love to hear from you. Would you like to hear more of these episodes? Use hashtag Buffer Podcast or send us a quick email at hello@buffer.com.
And we have a ton of great episodes coming your way in the next few weeks, including what's on tap for the future of social media, trends in marketing for 2018, our top social media posts from 2017, and a whole lot more.
Can't wait to dive into all of these new topics. We hope you all have a happy and productive week ahead, and we will talk to you next Monday.